Welcome to the podcast of Thousand Harbors Zen, featuring talks with Cohen France. This podcast is made possible by generous donations from our listeners. To contribute or to learn more about our community, please visit thousandharborszen.com.
The biggest problem of Buddhism might be Buddhahood. We really struggle with this. Among traditions, we struggle with this. This idea of what it is to be Buddha, what Buddha means, who is Buddha, who was the Buddha. We struggle with it ourselves. In some traditions, we're told that we are Buddha. In other traditions, we're told that we can become Buddha. Either one can be an overwhelming idea. And from outside of Buddhism, it's a problem as well, because people project onto the Buddha whatever they imagine spiritual attainment to be. For most people who are coming to this with an idea of a god, that makes the Buddha a god. And if that's how you're viewing this from the outside, it makes it very hard to come inside without putting that down. I want to talk about that a little bit tonight. As many of you know, I really enjoy this character from the last century, Kodo Sawaki. He was a very influential teacher in Japan and a little bit of a troublemaker. And I stumbled upon a short quote by him the other day, and I wanted to share it with you. This is so good. This is what he said. He said, "I have been Buddha since the distant past. The Buddha came to this world to inform us of his original vow." This just stopped me in my tracks when I read it. And I want to confess first, I received this as a disembodied quote. I don't know in what context he said it, but I can still guess what he was doing and what he meant. "I have been Buddha since the distant past. The Buddha came to this world to inform us of his original vow to save all sentient beings." We have this burden within this tradition of being told that we are Buddha. Already, there's nothing to be done. It's a beautiful idea. We also hear this as Buddha nature. Everything is Buddha nature. It's a beautiful idea. We may internalize that to a certain degree. We may have a kind of mental construct that starts to make sense of that for us. But even then, most of us probably struggle with the difference between that Buddha with a little b and the Buddha with the big B. Sure, yeah, maybe I'm Buddha in that little b kind of way where awakening is the nature of the universe and blah, blah, blah. But then there's the Buddha. And the Buddha was special. And Kodo Sawaki says, "I have been Buddha for a long time." And then in case we don't get the point, he says, "The Buddha came to this world to inform us of his original vow." So he's drawing a line between himself and the Buddha. He's erasing this distinction between little b Buddha and big B Buddha. He's saying, if I'm Buddha, then I'm Buddha. I've always been Buddha. If what the Buddha came here to do was to inform us of his vow to save all beings, that's what I came here to do. That is what I have come here to do. That's who I am. He's pushing our buttons. And the one button that he's pushing specifically has to do with confidence. It has to do with spiritual confidence, which I worry we lack. As much as this tradition insists on equality of awakening, as much as it insists on this idea that we are all already Buddha, it does so within a framework of hierarchies, where first we have the Buddha, who shakes everybody up. We have people like Dogen. I can't tell you how many people I know who talk about Dogen as if he could never do or say or think anything wrong. How are we supposed to compare with that? And then even today, between us, we have this other distinction where I'm wearing robes and you're not. It is very difficult, I think, to practice within this tradition and not feel that gap. We can be honest about it. There's something about this getup that if you encounter someone dressed in these robes, there is a certain willingness to give the benefit of the doubt. That person must get it. That person must have some depth. That person must have somehow earned that in some spiritual contest. And as long as we imagine that that's the case, then we don't necessarily give ourselves the benefit of the doubt. Because there's more, and it's over there, and it looks like that. In this way, in these ways, I worry that this tradition undermines confidence, specifically the confidence of lay practitioners. So that we encounter someone who is not wearing robes, who has been doing this practice for 20 years or 30 years or 50 years, and we don't offer that person the same benefit of the doubt. We don't turn to that person for wisdom when there's the other person in the room with the robes. It's about how we're seeing others, but most importantly for today, it's about how practitioners are seeing themselves. I'm fond of saying that when we sit in Zazen, that we sit as the Buddha in the morning, not in the evening. We sit as Buddha after that long night, after all this stuff with Mara, after all of this striving, this depthless striving. We sit as the Buddha just watching the sun come up. But that's hard to do. It's hard to do if we imagine that there's something more. It's hard to do if we imagine that someone else has something more. And so we are denied, and we deny ourselves, in some ways, the fruit of this practice, this confidence, this deep settling in. And I want to talk about what confidence is. Confidence in this context, in this tradition, in this practice, is not something we discover because we're special. It's something we discover because we discover that we're not. Because we discover that no one is. The teaching that everyone is Buddha, that everyone is already Buddha, is that everyone is. And so you don't have to measure yourself against someone else. Imagine for a moment if you went to the doctor and the doctor told you you had a terminal diagnosis, that you're going to die. Culturally, we have a narrative around that moment, around how we're supposed to respond. We kind of see two options. One option is that we're floored by this. It pulls the rug out from under us and we give up. We're broken by it. The second option, the one we valorize, is that we fight. We fight back. We become that person who never gives up. We meet that fact of our lives with striving. It's heroic. There's a third way. It is possible to meet the fact of your life, to meet that critical fact of your life, even, without pushing and without pulling, without resisting, without trying to defeat it or minimize it or change it. You are already Buddha. I mean, there is no reason to push and no reason to pull. It doesn't mean you're perfect. It doesn't even mean you're awake in the way that we might imagine it is to be awake. Nothing is missing. There is no metric by which we are to evaluate where we are. We're here, and everyone is here with us. Kodo Soaki says, I have been Buddha since the distant past. He didn't become this. The Buddha came to this world to inform us of his original vow. And here is where we find the confidence. It's in knowing what you're doing. There is no greater offering of confidence, no greater path to confidence than the path of the Bodhisattva, the vow of the Bodhisattva. And we've talked about this 100 times. It's not because that path offers you clarity about how to do things in each moment. It's not because that path makes you an important person for choosing it. It's not because now you're in this category. It's because everything can crumble around you and you still know why you're here. Nothing shakes that. Nothing disturbs it. Nothing calls it into question. Are you here to make an offering of your life? If the answer is yes, if you know the answer is yes, then in the context of this conversation, that's the only thing you need to know. It might be the only thing you should know in a world of mysteries. It guides you. It carries you in that straight line. When we sit down on this cushion, we should feel that fully. Not the question of it, not the possibility of it, the fullness of it. That's the confidence that's being spoken to here. I want that for you. I want you to find that. I want you to experience that when you sit and when you stand and when you walk, when you speak. Again, not because you've earned it, but because you don't have to. And that's where I'll stop.
You have been listening to a Thousand Harbors Zen podcast. Please visit thousandharborszen.com.